You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who comes in order to bring us into a community that's known as the church. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as I look around, there is only one couple in this this room that has been through premarital counseling with me, and so Colby and Kristen are the only ones that this is going to sound sort of familiar with. But if you go through premarital counseling with me, one of the things that we will probably do is we will play this game. I will actually give this to you as homework. You will have this game that you go back to wherever it is that you're living, and you have this conversation about this thing that we call the Gottman Island Survival Game. And the Gottman Island Survival Game kind of goes like this. You're supposed to imagine in your head that you are trapped on a tropical desert island. And you get to choose five of the following things to take along with you. You may choose two changes of clothing, an AM, FM, or shortwave radio receiver, 10 gallons of water, pots and pans, matches, shovel, backpack, toilet paper, two tents, two sleeping bags, knife, small life raft with sail, sunblock lotion, cook stove, lantern, long rope, two walkie-talkie sender-receiver units, freeze-dried food for 7 days, one change of clothing, one-fifth of whiskey, flares, compass, regional aerial maps, gun with 6 bullets, 50 packages of condoms, first aid kit with penicillin, oxygen tanks. So, as you listen to that list, you may sort of have in your mind, oh, I think I kind of know what my five would be. Maybe you're kind of thinking, okay, that would be the five things. And maybe you even heard some things in there that you were like, Why would I bring that? And maybe some of those things even got you a little bit concerned. Like, you know, why do you need a gun with 6 bullets in it? Is there only going to be one person after the game is played? And if you don't need the 50 condoms, are there going to be 3? You know, how is this going to work out? And so what I do is I tell the young couple, okay, go off and, you know, kind of figure this out. And what you're supposed to do is each person is supposed to decide, okay, these are my things. And then you're supposed to come back together and you're supposed to talk about it. Now, this is where it gets really fun because normally speaking, people have a little bit different. They're usually kind of like, okay, we agree on most of the things. But then there's a couple of things that one person in the couple is like, oh, yeah, you chose that, but you need to choose my thing. And you get into this conversation that is all about influence. And that's what it's supposed to kind of teach you about in your marriage, is kind of how you're influencing one another and how to do that in a healthy way. Well, that whole sort of Gottman Island survival game is something that applies in some ways to our readings today. So in our readings today, you have a lot of people that are talking about what they need. You know, we started off with that reading about the people of Israel, and they're complaining to Moses. They're saying, oh, we don't have food. We would have rather died in Egypt. Like the children of Israel being like super dramatic, as they can be sometimes. They are definitely hangry. We can tell that from the text. And then they say, we need some food. Can you get us some food? Moses goes to God, and God says, hey, check this out. I'm going to give you some food, but not only am I just going to give them food in order to give them food, but I'm actually going to give them food in order to test them. So if you were listening, what happens in that text is he actually says, the test here is going to be that one of these days, the Sabbath day, they're not supposed to pick up, and there's going to be no food. And so they need to not be thinking ahead, they need to trust me, and we'll see if they actually trust me. Spoiler alert, they fail. And so we've got that kind of color that's coming into this. And then, you know, we get to this reading from John. Now, you're not crazy. Last week, and for a lot of the weeks beforehand, we were reading out of the Gospel of Mark. The lectionary system goes kind of crazy around the summer sometimes, and it decides, oh, well, we haven't read from John in a while. Let's go there. And so that's what we're doing in the Gospel of John. We're actually going to be in the Gospel of John for this thing that's called the Bread of Life Discourse, where it's kind of this long thing that Jesus says. We're going to be looking at each of those sections over the next like 3 weeks, and we're starting it off today. And the way that we're starting it off is sort of setting the scene. We're setting the scene. So what has happened is, Jesus has just fed the 5,000. And he's fed the 5,000, and now people have gotten filled up with this miraculous bread and fish. I mean, it just popped up out of nowhere, it seems. And now they're like, this guy is worth following. You know, this is like finding a food truck that gives you food for free. You know, you're willing to check on the app, see where the food truck is, and travel there no matter how far it is away from your work or school or whatever, because you know that you're going to get free food. Well, that's what the people are doing. And Jesus is calling them out on that. He's saying, you're not really following me because you saw a sign. Now, what he means by a sign there is you're not following me because you saw something that tipped you off that I'm the Messiah. You're following me because I hand out really good bread and fish. And because of that, he sees that their hearts are in the wrong place. Their kind of ideas about what they need are in the wrong place. And sometimes I think, in the church, we can get a little bit confused about what it is that we need. We can get a little bit confused about what makes a church, what makes a good church, what makes a church that I want to go to, what makes this thing something that is what God intended it to be. And that's where Paul kind of comes in with his letter to the Ephesians. Now, I talked about at the beginning of service today, I said we're taking a little bit of a turn. So half of the Ephesians is just Paul gushing about how great it is that there is an Ephesian church. And you've heard me say this a bunch of times if you've been with us. But Paul is just like, like overjoyed. He is like, I never imagined that this was possible. There's a church in Ephesus. Holy mackerel, that's so cool. And now we're kind of turning a corner. They've heard that, you know, he's super happy. And now he's kind of turning this corner into describing to them sort of next steps. Sort of, okay, now that I'm over just like the unbelievable reality that there is a church in Ephesus, like, whoa. Now, here's what you do next. And so he goes on this long sort of rambling section in this this part of the letter. But the entire thing is kind of showing them, okay, what does it mean to be a church? What do you need in order to be really this church in Ephesus? And he kind of goes all over the place. You know, he talks about, Jesus had to come down so that he could go up, and all of that kind of stuff. But right there in the middle of it, he talks about these sort of five offices in the church. He talks about how God has given apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. And that those are kind of these five offices. It's sort of like Paul does this thing where if you've ever filled out a spiritual gifts inventory, which is kind of like a BuzzFeed quiz, and you kind of say, oh, okay, well, this is kind of like my spiritual gift, or this is what I feel God has called me to do. It's kind of like that. Where you've got, you know, the apostles that are people that are really interested in kind of starting new things. They're interested in going out. They're interested in kind of leadership stuff. You know, that's who the apostles are. They're kind of these people that they want to do something, probably something new, and they want to do it well. And then you get into the prophets. And the prophets, well, they're kind of like maybe the spikiest of this bunch. The prophets are really concerned about right and wrong. And they're not afraid to tell you what is right and what is wrong. And they're going to be very clear about that. They've got this connection with God. They've got this connection with the scriptures. And they're going to keep everybody on the right path. And then you've got the evangelists. You've got the evangelists. These are the people that really care about the people that are outside of the church. And these are the people that kind of look outside of the church and they say, oh, there's so much opportunity out there. There are so many people that we could be reaching. There's so many people that are these people that are walking in darkness and we could bring them the light. And then you've got kind of the reverse of that, which is the shepherds. And the shepherds are the people that look more inward. And they don't look outside of the church. They look inside of the church. And they're like, oh, look at all of these people. These people are so great. We need to take care of them. We need to love them. We need to hug them, kiss them, everything. And then you get the teachers. And the teachers, well, they're kind of the brainiacs. They're the ones that are like really interested in kind of learning more and teaching and all of the sort of academic side of what it is to be a part of the church. Because there is learning, because there is teaching, because there is all of that. And so Paul sort of outlines these offices. He outlines that there's this sort of multiplicity in the church. And, those are just sort of the rough estimates of that. But what Paul is showing us in those five offices is not necessarily that, oh, well, there's these specific five things, but rather that there are different people in the church. And he's saying, well, that's something that you need. You can't all be the same. In fact, that's something that Paul has been rejoicing in for the last several chapters. He's been saying, you guys are different, and that's so cool. You know, some of you are Jews, some of you are Gentiles, some of you are this, some of you are that. There's all of these different kinds of people, and we've brought them all together because they all love Jesus. And what Paul is doing in this section now is he's showing how that multiplicity comes together. He's showing that there's a spot for everybody, which is really, really good news. Because it means that you don't have to be like this picture of what every other Christian looks like. You don't even have to be a picture of, any of those five offices. But instead, you get to be a picture of you. Because after all, that's what God created. God did not just create five different kinds of human beings in the world. He didn't say, okay, well, I'm going to have a creation and see, one-fifth of that creation is going to be apostles, one-fifth of that creation is going to be prophets, one-fifth of that creation, you get the idea. But instead, he made us all different, with different skills and different abilities and different ways of being ourselves. And that means that every time we have a church, come together, we have all of these different people. And these different people, it's kind of amazing how it works. Because a part of why you're here is because you're getting something, right? I mean, you just got something pretty big at the beginning of service. I just told you that your sins are forgiven. That's pretty big. A little bit later on, after this sermon, you're going to come up here and you are going to receive the Lord's body and blood in your mouth, on your tongue, in your belly, and going throughout your body. That's also a pretty big deal. And so you're getting something. You're getting those big things. You're also getting great music. You're also getting an amazing time of fellowship after this if you hang around or you talk to people beforehand. If you show up early to church, you get an amazing time of us going through the Gospels. You get a lot of stuff. But that's not the only reason that you're here. Because you're also here as a vocation. You're also here to be yourself for other people. You're here to say, this is who I am, and who I am has been redeemed by Jesus Christ so that I may be a gift to others. And maybe that gift looks a little bit more like being an apostle. Maybe that gift looks a little bit more like being a prophet. Maybe that gift looks a little bit more like being an evangelist. Maybe that gift looks a little bit more like being a shepherd. Maybe that gift looks a little bit more like being a teacher. But whatever it is, that's why you're set in community. That's why we have these things called church. It's because God has redeemed you. That's what Jesus Christ came on the cross to do. He came to redeem you so that you would no longer be bound by your sins, but you would be free to be yourself for the sake of other people. I mean, after all, that's the problem that Jesus is pointing out with the people in the gospel reading. They're just in this for themselves. They're in this because they've got some hungry bellies and Jesus has better than French bread. Which somewhere along the line, Jewish people lost because matzah is disgusting. But there's the other side of that where Jesus has said, but you get to be a gift. You get to be a gift to people. Not so that you can pump yourself up and go, well, I'm a gift. But rather so that you can experience just a fraction of Jesus' joy. Because after all, that's what Jesus came to be for you and for me. He came to be a gift to us in the forgiveness of our sins, in the connection that we have with the Holy Spirit, in the ease that we have in going to the Father. But also, a part of the gift that he gave us is a little bit of the joy of being able to be a gift to other people. So as you go out into this week, remember that you have this vocation of being a gift. And use it. Be yourself for the sake of other people. Give yourself as a gift. But do that only out of the center of knowing that the reason that you're giving yourself as a gift is that you know the only Son of God who gave himself as a gift for you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.